God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, we are back. Welcome, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. As I said, actually yesterday and earlier a moment ago as well, Matt Prater joining us now. Matt, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm very well, and I am so thankful you're joining us. I told Robin to, you know, really appreciate all that she did in putting this together and appreciate you taking time out of your day. You were in Denver for quite some time, and you're at the Cardinals now, a kicker there. And, I don't want to sound like I know everything, because really I don't, Matt, but are you one of, or are you the oldest kicker in the NFL right now?
I'm the oldest right now.
You are the oldest. Okay. So you're what, 39? Am I right in saying that?
Yep. I'll be 40 in August.
40 in August. Okay. So I'll start there. What does it feel like to be the oldest kicker? Actually, probably the oldest player in the NFL right now. Am I right in saying it that way also?
Yeah, I think so. With Aaron Rodgers being hurt, I think I am the oldest. Honestly, it doesn't feel too different. Just, I don't heal up as quick as I used to, and
sure.
But other than that, I feel pretty good.
Okay. I've got a few questions. I got a few questions that folks sent in as well, but I got some of my own because I'm fascinated, by the way, with kickers. Always have been. I can remember watching Dempsey kick some of the long, long field goals back in the day. I mean, I've just always been in awe at how you guys can even kick the ball as far as you do, because to me it's a miracle, by the way. I look at that and just think, how in the world do you get that little ball to go through those uprights at the distances you do? And then on top of that, have 75,000 screaming fans, depending upon where you're at, yelling at you or cheering for you, one or the other. How do you block out all of those things going on at that time when you're getting ready to do one of those long kicks?
I think that's part of the mental part of it, what separates guys. And for me, anytime I go out to kick, I look at it as I expect to make the kick. So I don't, add extra pressure or stress. And I think if you think positive, the results are usually with it pretty more than they're not.
By the way, you could transfer that into a lot of other things in life, I think, as well. So thanks
right,
for saying
yeah.
that. I think that coincides with a lot of different things, actually. You and I think a lot alike when it comes to that. I do a lot of that on our program here as well, because I agree with you. I think a lot of things where, if the expectation is, I'm going to miss this thing, well, and by the way, Matt, I'm not a big, the power of the mental thing and that everything you think is going to happen. I'm not one of those guys either, but I do think there's something to be said about positivity. And if you think you're going to fail, well, you probably will. So you got to think fairly positive all the time.
Right. Like, I don't want to ever go out for a field goal and be doubting or not expecting to make it, because then I feel like I'll miss it more than not. So I think being confident and going out and expecting to make every kick in every situation is really important.
Okay. So another question I've got. I can imagine how it's like to kick the winning field goal, or the extra point even, you're up by one or you've up by three or you've even tied the game with that particular kick. I got to believe that's ecstatic. You feel great. Everybody in the entire arena, depending upon whether you're at an away game or a home game, but typically there's, some exuberance going on. On the same token, what's it like when you miss one? And again, I don't ever feel like as a fan even that it's always the kicker's fault, because the team got there in that particular, things were done, game plan wise and so on, to get the point where you're either 1 point down or one field goal down. So I never look at it as being just your fault. But what's those feelings like on either side?
I'd say as far as missing, disappointment. You try to figure out what happened so it doesn't happen again. But anytime you go out to make, for a field goal or extra point, the team expects you to make it, and they're depending on you to make it, because NFL games are so close.
True.
Most of the time that, and, any missed kick can be a difference in any game.
I think the one thing fans forget, and it gets lopsided, I think, with different teams and what goes on at times, although even our Denver Broncos showed that a couple of weeks ago with the Kansas City Chiefs, who we hadn't beat since 2015. I mean, the NFL is, on any given day, any team can win, right?
Right, because everybody on both sides of the ball is getting paid. I know everybody's, the top football players in the world.
Yeah,
on both
thank
sides.
You. Yeah, thanks for saying that. I mean, they are not only getting paid, but it is the best of 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 typically Division I football. And you think about how many Division I teams are out there and how many, I call them kids because I'm an old guy, but how many kids are playing and how many actually make it to the pros. I mean, you literally, Matt, to your point, it is the cream of the crop that's on the field at any given point in time.
Right, right. Yeah, as far as kickers, there's only 32 jobs in the whole world.
So. Wow. Wow. Okay, so going back in time, and I read up on you a little bit, and of course followed you when you were in Denver, because I'm a native. I've been here, you know, been a Bronco fan pretty much since I can imagine being around, you know, and played football in high school and all that, so I know a little bit about some of that, and watched you when you were here in Denver as well. But going back in time, I mean, did you know you were going to kick the ball at an early age, or, you know, at what point did you realize, hey, I've got a talent to kick that ball a long way?
I think my dad spotted it before I did, but we grew up playing soccer and baseball, but I don't know if you remember the Gramatica brothers that kicked for a while, when Martin kicked in Tampa for a while, and Bill actually got drafted by Arizona, but their younger brother Santiago was on my soccer team growing up, so then when the older boys started kicking field goals and getting scholarships and had getting different opportunities from playing football, my dad, you know, got us into it and played 1 year at Pop Warner, then got back into it in high school and kind of just stuck with it since.
Okay.
He saw something that I didn't know. I didn't really know much about kicking at all. And so, you know, I think going into my senior year, I could hit a 60 to 65 yard field goal. And wow. I thought that was just normal.
Wow.
And
no, that's not normal. As you know.
Well, then I went to camps and as a high school kid, then I was kicking, you know, with the other high school kids. And then the counselors were all, you know, D1 kickers. So then they got up and were, you know, kicking. And I'm like, shoot, I feel like I can beat these guys right now. And I'm coming out of high school. And so wow. That's when I realized that I could maybe do something with it.
Okay. Another dumb question on my part, given that I've been around this some and I've played some football as again, in high school and such. Is it all leg strength? Is it technique? Is it body size, shape? Is it muscular ability in your legs? I mean, explain how that part even works.
As far as the power goes, you get it from leg speed.
Okay.
And then as far as the consistency, that's all about the technique. Everyone's going to be a little different. You know, obviously everybody's body's different, so their starting stance or approach might be slightly different, but for the most part, everybody on contact when they're kicking, making the ball contact with their foot, basically almost looks identical, just like golfers.
Yes.
Basically, kicking is, like, the analogy is like identical to golf, where kickers, your leg is the club.
Ah, okay. So it really does come down to, just like I guess in golf, it doesn't really matter if you're the biggest, buffest guy on the course. It comes down to club speed, how well you handle that, muscle memory, all of those factors in golf applies to what you're doing.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, who's hitting the fairway every time? It's who's making all their extra points.
I did not know that. That makes sense. I never really put two and two together because, again, you see kickers come in kind of all shapes and sizes. I mean, no offense, over the years, there's been some pretty out-of-shape, pudgy guys that can kick the stinking ball a long way.
Yeah, including myself. So.
I wouldn't go that far. You've had, you know, let's just say you've had a really solid career in the NFL, and I'm sure a lot of other even younger kickers look up to you. And how do you do that and be consistent all through all those years like you've been? You've done a tremendous job.
I appreciate it. And I think it's one thing with me too. It's kind of almost never being satisfied, never feeling like I've done, you know, well enough or good enough in games and different things. So I continue to work hard and try to be the best version of myself. And you know, hopefully my teammates and everybody knows that I'm always giving them my 110% all the time.
You know, that leads into another question I had even, is just sort of the, you know, I look at football especially, it's a game of leaders. You have to have leaders on the team to get the team motivated, and it's not coming just from the head coach and assistant coaches. You guys, you know, in the locker room and so on, and some of that maturity that even folks like you at your age bring into it, you have to make a big difference. What is it like on, you know, any game day, pregame, do you have any particular rituals that you do? You know, what's it like inside the locker room? Is it like what most people see on, you know, television when you watch some of the different things that we see and even some of the movies that have been made, or is it completely different than that?
There's definitely some similarities. There's music playing. There's some guys with headphones, you know, doing their own thing. There's guys rolling out and getting, you know, seeing the chiropractors or seeing the trainers getting loose. But as far as for me, my routine basically is that I don't have a routine. I don't ever want to think that if my routine gets screwed up, I'm not going to be able to play well. I just think I'm going to go out there and, you know, just expect to do well, and I don't need any routines or rituals or anything to go play or perform.
do you feel like today, after doing this all these years, again, you've been playing for almost 20 years. Well, if you go all the way back to high school and college, you've been playing for 20 plus years. Has any of that changed for you over those years, or are you pretty much the same, you know, Matt that was kicking, you know, your rookie year as today?
I'd say I'm a little different just from all the years of experience that, you know, there's almost, I don't think there's any situation in the game that I could come up that I haven't seen at least once or twice in my career.
Okay.
So just that experience and knowledge, and I'm a lot more confident than I was when I was a younger kicker. When I was young, I was really raw. I really didn't know what I was doing. I basically just kicked my hardest and wasn't very technical, and that's something I kind of developed over the years.
All right, I want to take a break, and again, appreciate your time. Want to honor that as well, but I know we've got some time here, so hang tight. I want to take a break. I want to come back, and again, for everybody listening, maybe the first time even tuning in with us today, Matt Prater, a kicker for the Cardinals, was here in Denver for a very long time as well. I want to talk when we come back. Matt, I want you to walk us through some of your record-breaking kicks, or the record-breaking kick, and what some of that felt like and so on as soon as we come back. So again, everybody hang tight. Matt Prater with us, courtesy, by the way, KNR Home Transitions. Robin, who is the R of KNR, really set all this up and put this together, which I appreciate greatly. So hang tight. We'll come right back. Veteran Windows and Doors is up next. 35% off right now, and make sure that you're dialed in when it comes to your windows and doors, and Dave can do all of that for you. Find Dave at KLZRadio.com.
Veteran Windows and Doors realizes that your front door is your home's signature statement, and they can perfect the design and installation at a fraction of the cost. You want a front door that is energy efficient, durable, and increases the value of your home. That's why Veteran uses Provia Signet doors with the highest quality materials and customization options to match your home's unique style. Owner Dave Bancroft is confident he can beat any national company's price for Provia doors by 30 to 50%. There's no reason to pay more for the same door. And Provia recommends Veteran Windows and Doors for installation of their products because they know that Veteran uses a stricter installation method above what is required. You get a gorgeous, right-for-your-home door at the best price and installed correctly. To design your home's new front door with Veteran Windows and Doors, go to klzradio.com/window. That's klzradio.com/window.
All right, Ridgeline Auto Brokers is next. If you need a new used car is what I should say. They've got it for you and typically have great cars, especially for those first-time drivers. Find them at RidgelineAutoBrokers.com.
Are you in the market for a reliable car that won't break the bank? Drive Radio sponsor, Ridgeline Auto Brokers, specializes in quality used cars that cost between $15,000 to $25,000, making them a great option for first-time drivers or anyone looking for a good deal. They pride themselves on providing a transparent and hassle-free car buying experience. That's why at Ridgeline, they never charge a dealer fee. Plus, all vehicles are inspected by Legacy Automotive, a Colorado Select member and sponsor of Drive Radio. For a limited time, they are offering first-time customers the first oil change for only $1. Every car comes with a 30-day warranty, with the option to purchase a service contract. And at Ridgeline Auto Brokers, there are competitive financing options to fit your budget. If you cannot make it to the dealership in person, there are videos of all Ridgeline cars for sale on their website at RidgelineAutoBrokers.com. Call today at 303-442-4141 to schedule a test drive, or visit RidgelineAutoBrokers.com. Ridgeline Auto Brokers, the smartest way to buy a car.
Pops Garage Doors, whatever you need when it comes to garage door repair of or replacement of, they can do either. And remember, they've got springs that nobody else in Colorado carries that have a 20-year warranty and are made right here in America. That's Pops Garage Doors, klzradio.com.
Pops Garage Door knows that nobody wants the frustration of trying to leave your house only to discover that your garage door won't open. You want a garage door that lasts a lifetime, and Pops Garage Door is the company who can guarantee that will happen. This is why Pops uses LiftMaster Garage Doors with a lifetime warranty. The new and improved LiftMaster Garage Door is whisper quiet with built-in brighter LED lights that never need replacing, and a camera for your safety and convenience. Pops doesn't want you to hassle with your garage door not working, so they offer the highest quality garage doors. LiftMaster doors also come with a backup battery, a keypad, and sensors to help keep your home safe and secure. These newest features allow you to conveniently open and close your garage door with your cell phone, so no more worrying about deliveries. You want to rely on your garage door for years, so upgrade your garage with a LiftMaster from Pop's Garage Door by going to klzradio.com/garage. That's klzradio.com/garage.
All right, Cub Creek Heating and Air Conditioning, if you've got any kind of furnace problems, right now is the time to call. Get that handled before the next set of weather we get sets in, which, by the way, could be tomorrow. And don't forget about their $50 off tune-up furnace tune-up special as well. Cub Creek Heating and Air Conditioning, 303-656-5467 or klzradio.com.
As the cold winter approaches, so does the dry winter air. And Cub Creek has what you need to keep your house from drying out. When the climate in a home is too dry, it can lead to annoying things like dry skin, static shocks, nosebleeds, and allergy issues. But it can also lead to serious health concerns, such as respiratory issues like asthma, immune system problems, and sinus infections. In addition to the health issues, dry air in your home can decimate hardwood floors, cabinets, and other wood in your home, leaving you with costly repairs in short order. Cub Creek partners with April Air Humidifiers, and they can accommodate any size or style of home with both steam and fan-powered humidifiers. And if a whole home humidifier isn't right for you, Cub Creek will recommend a smaller unit that they trust. The Rheem-certified pro partners at Cub Creek genuinely care about your home and comfort, so reach out today by going to klzradio.com/HVAC today.
Now, back to Rush to Reason, presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
And we are back. Matt Prater joining us, as I said earlier, in a courtesy of K&R Home Transitions. Robin set all of this up. So again, Matt, thank you for joining us. Kicker for the Cardinals was here in Denver for quite some time as well. And as I went to break, Matt, asking you, you know, what was it like, you know, kind of walk us through when you hit that 64-yard field goal.
Yeah, everything kind of happened really quick. So I think Tennessee scored. We were down quite a bit to Tennessee going into the half. And I don't remember exactly how much time was left, but there was maybe 30 seconds. And so Payton does a couple quick throws. And then he hits Jacob Tammy, and he runs out of bounds. They call field goal. So we had no idea exactly where how far it was going to be. So we knew it was going to be in the low 60s. So we get out for the spot, and Aaron Brewer's the snapper. Britton Colquitt is the holder. We get down for the spot, and Britton says to me, "Holy crap," like something else. "Holy crap, this is for the record," as I'm about to take my steps.
Yeah, so thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
I take my steps back, and I say to him, I go, "Why would you say that right now?" as I'm walking back. So whatever. It was really cold, too. So when I hit it, I didn't even know if I didn't think I hit it well enough to get there. And so we hit it, and it seemed like it was in the air forever. And then when the refs put their hands up, there I kind of blacked out. Went crazy, celebrated with everybody.
Very cool. Okay, so back to that. That was another thing I've always had questions on. How much chit chat, you know, on the field between, you know, you, the center, the holder? I mean, there's all sorts of things going on there. I mean, you've got a whole line that has to do what they need to do so things don't get blocked. You have to make sure your trajectory is correct depending upon, like in this case, how long the field goal is. I mean, how much of that chit-chat goes on the field, or do you guys just get out there and do it?
We go out in pregame to kind of figure out all that stuff. So if it's a windy day, you know, different distances, you're going to have to play it a little bit more than shorter, but that's we kind of take care of all that stuff in pregame. But as far as the cadence goes for the snap and hold, usually you go into a game with one or two different cadences, okay, and everybody is on the same page when we go out on the field. And usually for a field goal, though, half field line is already out there and the other half is coming out.
Okay.
So we kind of just relay the message when we come out there real quick with everybody. The cadence is going to be.
Who calls the actual, you know, snap count? Is that you or the holder?
The holder.
Okay, so the holder calls it. So you're literally just waiting for the ball to be in place before, or and walk me through that. Do you, and because I should pay attention to this more when it's happening, but it happens so fast when you're actually watching either live or on TV anyways. Do you take a step prior to the ball being set, or do you wait until the ball's set to take your step?
So I'm waiting. I'm in my stance, and I'm just looking at the holder's hand, the down hand on the spot.
Okay.
And so as soon as the ball, you know, he does the cadence, he calls set. And when that hand comes up to catch the ball, is when I'm leaving.
Okay.
So my eyes are just focused on the spot the entire time, and the whole operation from snap to kick has got to be 1.3 seconds or faster, because
or it's going to get blocked.
Yeah, the guy around the edge can block it if it's slower than 1.3.
Okay. Wow. I knew it had to be really fast, but I had no idea 1.3 seconds. So I'm assuming too, these are things that you guys are practicing. You've got, you know, your main holder and probably a backup holder. You guys are going through this constantly so that that thing is, you know, dead on every time you do it, right?
Right, right. That's basically, you know, mostly what we work on during the week.
Yeah, I kind of figured that part out. Okay, walk us through the difference between real grass, artificial, or the blend between the two.
You know, for me, honestly, it doesn't matter. I don't have a preference, but the difference is artificial is a little firmer, where for a kicker, if you were to kick the ground with the artificial, it's not as forgiving. You can't kind of rip through it like grass.
Any special shoes? Do you wear a kicking shoe, or what's that part like as well?
I just wear soccer cleats, just standard soccer cleats, and we file down the cleats on the right kicking foot by the big toe, so you don't catch the ground as much.
Oh, okay. I'm learning something. I didn't know that. It makes sense. That way you're not catching that as you're going to kick, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to the dynamics of each team, and if I ask something you want to answer because of you still playing and so on, just tell me. We'll move on. I get it. But is there, you know, the team dynamics when you go from, you know, one pro team to another, and you're somebody that's been able to do that? Some guys, you know, will stay at one team, you know, most of their career. Doesn't happen. You know, there's very few John Elways out there where they stay with one team their entire career. Most guys have been on, you know, more than one team throughout their career. What's that like, and is there big differences, or is it all pretty much, you know, you're all professionals, so you're doing the same thing, and a lot of the guys have come from other teams as well? You know, what's that part like?
There's a lot of similarities. I'd say the biggest difference is just the difference in weather. And now, as I've gotten older too, now I have a family. You know, if I were to move, it's not just me moving anymore. It's my kids are changing schools and new friends and everything else. So that's probably the hardest part.
Okay. Yeah. And I could see, you know, to me, I've always wondered, okay, how, you know, do all the guys move their entire family every single place they go, or do they like spend the season one place while the family's still left behind somewhere else, or does it vary from player to player?
It varies player to player. Like Andy Lee, who played in the league, he's not even, I don't think, officially retired, but he played 19 years, and I know the last 7 years of his career, his family lived in Charlotte, and he would come out for the season. They'd come on long weekends or holidays.
Okay.
But then he'd go back to Charlotte and be there the entire offseason.
What about the football career is not as glamorous as everybody thinks? I mean, everybody I know thinks of, you know, most of their players, they've got their favorites, and some of these guys, let's face it, Matt, get idolized, and, you know, right, wrong, or otherwise, it just is the way that it is, and everybody looks at that as being, you know, almost like Hollywood stars, where, you know, these guys are just idolized and there's nothing, you know, it's just a super glamorous lifestyle. Is it, or is it just a regular job like the rest of us do from time to time?
It's glamorous. Anytime you're, you know, you go into work and your main work day is on national TV. It's a little bit in the spotlight. So you get people that, if you don't have a good game, will be messaging you and talking smack about you and all that stuff with social media. So that's a little different. And, you know, it's like, I'm sure everybody was perfect at their job this week. They didn't screw up at all, but everybody sees when I screw up.
Yeah, very true. No, very true. Okay, along those lines, what advice do you give to rookies, especially when it comes to some of the things that you just mentioned? I mean, I got to believe, I mean, no offense, I'm not the same as you by any stretch of the imagination, although I can take a lot of flack at times for things that either I say or a position I take on air, and you're more of a public figure, especially doing what, you know, you and I do. I'm not near what you are. I don't take near the flack. But, you know, you have to have thick skin doing what you and I do. If you don't, it'll drive you crazy. In fact, I think sometimes it drives my family more crazy than it even does me. I just learned to let it roll off. I think they take it more to heart. What's it like in your world, and what advice do you have for rookies along those lines?
I'd say just stay consistent. Don't ride the roller coaster of emotions when you have, you know, great games. Don't, you know, stay, you know, on that high too long, and you have lows, don't stay down. Just be consistent, ready to move on to the next one. The next one's always the most important. And stay positive and keep working. Stay hungry and always try to get better.
Yeah, amen. Good, good. By the way, I appreciate that. That's exactly what I would say as well, the advice that I would give, and, you know, don't let that limelight get to you. You still got to work hard. The other thing, too, not necessarily for you as a kicker, but especially a lot of those guys that are playing, you know, when they're a lot younger, depending upon their position, you and I both know, rarely do they play 20 years like you're going to do. I mean, most of them, 2.5 to 5 years on average, and they're pretty much done, used up, and that's if there's been no major injuries or anything along those lines. Do you ever, you know, have that conversation with some of those guys, like, you know, enjoy this while you can because it could end literally Sunday?
Yep, all the time. That's what a lot of guys talk about, that, and pregame guys will say, hey, you know, none of us know when this game could be taken away from us, so let's go give everything we got, because who knows if this is the last time we get to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I got to believe that. I mean, that's the difference between even what you guys are doing and what I'm doing. I mean, no offense, there's a lot of old-time, you know, talk show hosts that keep rolling along. As long as we can get in front of the mic and keep talking, we're here. Injuries, things like that, you know, we're not getting traded. Now, I shouldn't say that. Some, actually, in my world, that happens too, but typically it's not the same as you guys. And an injury in my world is not going to have, you know, dramatic effect upon my career. But for all of you guys, it definitely, even you guys as kickers, you have some major injury where all of a sudden, you know, that leg speed is not going to be the same any longer. You're no longer a kicker.
Right. And they're always looking for younger and cheaper anyway.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, and this is nothing against you or any of the guys that play, but and I'm not saying this any way that's negative. It just is what it is. I mean, you guys are, in a lot of ways, for owners, you know, you're the stock, quote unquote. You're the guys that are making it happen, are going to make things either win, lose, or draw. And at the end of the day, I hate to say this, but really it is all about the numbers and how well is the team doing overall. And if they feel like there's somebody else that's going to come in and get the job done better, no offense, you're gone.
Right, right.
Is that, and I'm assuming everybody on the team understands that, right?
Yeah. And you see that during the season sometimes when, you know, guys aren't performing what they're expected to. There's someone else sitting in their locker pretty quick.
Yeah, that probably, or I would imagine, you know, to me it would be probably one of the most unnerving things there is you just, you know, if you don't perform well week after week after week, you're not, I mean, kind of true with other jobs as well, but it's less forgiving with what you guys are doing with what the rest of the world does.
Right, for sure.
Interesting. Okay, what's life going to be like after football for Matt?
Well, I think the first year I'm just going to enjoy just coaching my kids. This last spring I coached my son's youth football team. It was a full tackle, 7 to 9 year olds playing.
Nice.
And my oldest daughter was playing flag football for her high school, and they actually won the state championship.
Good.
Last year. So,
good job.
Yeah, a ton of fun. So I really enjoyed coaching and look forward to doing that in the future. And I also, I want to open up my own training center out here, you know, geared towards youth athletics eventually as well.
Nice. Along those lines, this is something I was just thinking of when you said that. Given that you're a kicker and you kind of get to observe a lot of things that are happening, and granted, when things are getting a little bit, dicey might not be the right word, but you know when you're going to be potentially kicking the ball, you go, you practice, all those different things. There's even the net on the sidelines. You see guys practicing on the front side. So you kind of know when something might come up. But I also think you guys get to observe and hear a lot of what's going on coaching staff-wise and so on. Does that help you now, you know, once you're done coaching and even what you've done with your daughter's team and so on, do those things help guys like you?
Tons. Because I think, you know, like you said earlier, one thing, I don't remember what I said, but you said it relates to all, you know, aspects of life. And I think you learn a lot of life lessons with football, especially the team mentality, because football is the ultimate team sport. And
it
so
is.
When you can get, you know, 11, 7 to 9-year-olds to, you know, go on two instead of the regular cadence, and they're all going the same direction, that's
like herding cats. No, I know exactly what you mean.
Right.
It's herding cats. No, if you can get them to go the right direction, you're doing well.
Right, yeah, and we had a great spring, so
that's awesome.
Doing it again.
I had a question that came in. Have you ever considered using Gary Anderson's single bar face mask when kicking field goals? Would that make the goals easier?
Yeah, I don't think it would make a difference, but they banned that. I think that was retired with Scott Player.
Ah.
Or else I would definitely consider it, though.
Okay. You know what? I will have to look that up. I really didn't think about that. Another question, this one I've always wondered as well. What's the difference between, you know, kicking field goals, extra points versus punts, and why don't you see too many players doing both? I mean, I know occasionally you'll see a guy switch around because of an injury or something along those lines, but that's not the norm.
Yeah, it's a some guys can do all three. It's just hard to be really consistent at all three, you know, kickoff, field goal, and punt, because it's a different leg swing. Punt is kind of coming up straight up slightly across your body, and a kick, you're not coming up as far and coming a little more across. So
okay.
It's a little bit different swing.
And kickoffs, different kickoff, as well?
Yeah, kickoffs is more like a field goal, except you're obviously running towards the ball. So you, instead of staying on your plant foot, you kick and follow through and actually land on your kicking foot down the field.
Is that why kickoffs are so much farther?
Yeah, because you obviously can have a much more build-up. There's not a get-off time. You have to get it off.
And there's not 11 guys coming across the line of scrimmage to try to kill you.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's face it, it's a little different setup kicking off versus having an extra point or a field goal. Those guys, you know, literally are not breathing down your neck. Okay, here's another question. How much, you know, trash talk on the line of scrimmage, because you're close enough even as a kicker to hear a lot of that. Does that stuff really go on like you see in the movies and so on? Or are the guys, you know, I mean, they're football players, not going to say they're going to be polite, but I mean, is there as much trash talk at the line of scrimmage as you normally, you know, hear in movies and such?
Occasionally, yeah, there's definitely some trash talking for sure. Not a ton directed towards me during the games, usually, unless it's like at the end of the game for a game winner or a game tying kick. But yeah, there's definitely a trash talk.
How much, and this is something I've always wondered as well, given the fact that players can rotate from team to team because of all the reasons we've already discussed, you know, once the game is over and you see a lot of guys on both sides of the team, you know, both teams, both sides of the aisle, I guess I should say, shaking hands and talking and chatting and so on. I mean, I got to believe that all of you guys, when the game is over, know, wait a minute, this might be my future teammate. I probably ought to be careful how I act.
Right. And, you know, you might see him again later in the season, too.
True.
But a lot of guys, you know, you've been teammates with before or play against in college or high school even sometimes. So I feel like most guys know at least three or four guys on every team.
Okay. Makes sense. I think, again, I've got so many questions. I appreciate you joining us. And for all of you listening, Matt Prater, he's a kicker for the Cardinals right now. He's been in Denver for many years. In fact, the record was set here in Denver as well that we talked about a little bit ago. Robin from K&R Home Transitions was the one that really put all this together. Memorable moments outside of that longest kick, Matt. Do you have any others that you can just look back on and think, yep, you know, that was really a great day?
Yeah, we against the Vikings the last year in Detroit, we kicked a 52-yarder to have the most 50-yarders in NFL history. And it was a special moment because of Don Muehlbach, the long snapper. He had played, I think, 17 years. And I remember just finally, you know, chasing it and finally reaching it and doing it. And it was just special sharing that moment with him.
Oh, nice. Okay. Icing the kicker. You know, we hear that, then broadcasters talk about it. You see it. You know, you're about ready to kick, and all of a sudden the other team calls a timeout to try to, quote-unquote, ice the kicker. Does that have any real mental – in other words, does it work, or is it just something that everybody thinks does so they do it?
Occasionally, certain kickers, I guess, if you look at their history, some it works against, some it doesn't. I personally think it helps you a little bit because then you can kind of –
That was my thought.
Time.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
really
have more time at that point. You can really sit down and kind of analyze everything and really get your mind around what you should be doing versus just running out there and kicking.
Yeah, you can take your time, really visualize it before you have to even line it up. So I don't mind if I get iced.
I appreciate that. You know, that's really – Matt, I had a lot of stuff. A lot of these I wrote out. I had other people that actually sent some things in to ask questions as well. Is there anything else that, you know, you'd just like to tell everybody that – maybe we wouldn't know otherwise?
No, I think we covered a lot. I think that's good.
Well, I appreciate your time very much. And again, you're welcome anytime. Even, you know, Matt, I'll even throw this out at you. After football's over and you decide to do something else and you've started some of these other things that you're talking about doing, you are always welcome to come back on, talk about those things. We'll support you whatever we can. I just appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and just, you know, your candidness and the ability to spend time and chat. And I've learned a lot, and I appreciate it greatly.
No, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
You're very welcome. Matt, have a great one. Have a great rest of the season. And, you know, one thing I didn't ask. I know your contract goes to next year. Are you going to play another year?
Yeah, I'm going to try. I figure as long as I'm healthy and I can still kick it straight, I'll do as
okay.
long as I can.
All right. Well, best of luck to you. And anytime you want to come back, Matt, you're more than welcome to.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate it very much. What a joy to talk to. Looking forward to that for the last week or so that we've been trying to get that put together. So, again, Robin from K&R Home Transitions, Robin Oglesby, thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate it. If you're listening, that was fabulous. And, Matt, again, thank you so much for joining us today. I had a lot of fun. I hope you guys did as well. It's not often you get the opportunity to chat like that and just really be candid and, you know, get a lot of inside, in this case, inside football. And I appreciate that very much. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.